Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Boxing Tuesday Night Grueling Truth. That did not sound right at all, did it, Joe? My co-host, Joe Rodriguez, is in with me this week. How's it going tonight, Joe?
Party on, Mike.
Party on, Mike. I forgot to say, Joe Rodriguez, if anybody's interested, look him up on Facebook. He is, and he's in charge of the fan club for former heavyweight champion John Ruiz. Huge John Ruiz fan, I know. Which means he loved this fight this last week because that was a John Ruiz special. Nothing happened. We were supposed to have Donnie Lalonde on tonight. We're having a problem getting him because his flight was delayed again. Same problem we had last week. Flies all over a lot. Must be nice to have enough money to fly all over, huh, Joe?
Why does Donnie Lalonde even fly?
Why not? What's wrong with flying?
If he's going to be on our show, he should drop everything to be on the show.
He should. You would think. But I think that he was just upset because he can't be in charge of the John Ruiz fan club. But well, that brings us to our topic tonight, which will be, I mean, obviously the greatest fight in history. Floyd Mayweather against Manny Pacquiao. What was your take on the fight, Joe?
Well, like many, many, many others, I was really disappointed. I think the prescription to beat Floyd Mayweather, who only fights in spurts, is to force the action, to pressure him and force the action and make him fight, because there's not many fights that I've seen him fight. He fights in spurts, he holds, he'll throw a counter punch here or there, with a few exceptions. And I thought that Pacquiao was that guy, but Pacquiao, for whatever reason, did not press the action.
All right. So did you pay $100 to watch the fight, Joe?
Yes, I did.
What do you think you got your money's worth?
In terms of the fight, no. In terms of being with my family and friends, yes.
Yeah, but you usually don't have to pay $100 to be with your family and friends. My problem with the fight is, of course, the injury to Manny Pacquiao, which they say is a torn rotator cuff. What's your take on a torn rotator cuff and nobody knowing until after the fight?
I have mixed feelings about it. I know that I know you're not going to agree with me, which is makes for dramatic radio. Pacquiao was in a no-win situation 3 weeks or so before the fight. He hurt his rotator cuff. If he pulls out, he doesn't get the payday, which is a humongous consideration. And he may never get to fight Mayweather. It took him 6 years to get him in the ring anyway. And if he pulls out because of an injury, then he may never fight Mayweather, and he may never collect that payday. So I get it. I don't like it, but I get it.
Well, I get that part, but what I don't get, I believe this. I believe with as much money that was involved with this fight, you could have had to fight a year later. But, yeah, the fight may not happen. But also, there comes a point to me where you got to think of the fans a little bit. And I don't think the fans were considered here. I mean, people paid $100 to watch the fight. People paid God knows how much money to go see the fight in person. And I think that he tarnishes his legacy just by not being honest. I mean, if they report this a month ago, chances are the Nevada State Athletic Commission's already said if they'd have known about it, they probably would have let the shot go. But once again, if you're making that much money, throw the punches anyways. I mean, Muhammad Ali fought how long is Ken Norton with a broken jaw? I mean, I think the whole problem today with guys like Mayweather, and I mean, I didn't think I'd say this about Manny Pacquiao, it's they don't really care about what the fans think. They don't care about really putting on a show. They're just worried about lining their own pockets. And what this fight reminded me of, to some extent, I mean, I wrote an article about the 10 worst fights, you know, the 10 most overhyped fights that didn't live up to the hype. And to me, this was number one. I mean, the fight that really brought back to me was Leonard Duran 3. But when you look at Leonard Duran 3, Leonard and Duran were both old. You know, there wasn't much left in the tank for either one of them. And, I mean, when I watched this fight, when you have a chance for your legacy, you got one arm, go in and throw it. You know, and I don't know what your feelings on this are, but I believe that at least part of his purse should be taken from him. What do you think?
I disagree. While he wasn't 100%, he did not report the injury. He did go in there and fight. He wasn't 100%, but he fought. He went in there, he fought. And when he did try to go in on Mayweather, Mayweather tied him up quickly. Maybe the injury prevented him from fighting out of the clinch as much or fighting inside as much as he could have. There was at one time, I think it was the fourth round, where he did have him against the ropes, and he did take it to him as best he could at that point. And I thought that was going to be the beginning of Pacquiao really turning on the heat on Mayweather, but he did not. He kind of played cat and mouse. You cannot play cat and mouse with Mayweather. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. He's still really good at his feet. He's still a terrific counterpuncher. He's great at tying people up. He's a very, very intelligent guy in the ring. You can't play cat and mouse with this guy. You have to attack him. Now, when you attack a fighter, as you know, you take chances. You leave yourself a little open, but you have to take it to Mayweather. Pacquiao didn't. I don't know how much the injury was a factor. I don't know. It was really disappointing. It really was. I was expecting Pacquiao to really ask him questions that Mayweather had not been asked before, and he didn't.
Well, and my whole problem with the whole thing is, I mean, I was used to, like, in the 80s. I know this isn't the 80s anymore, 90s. Guys would put it all on the line. I mean, come on. Thomas Hearns ran out, went toe-to-toe with Marvin Hagler, who was the middleweight champion of the world. Sugar Ray Leonard, even though he waited a few years for Hagler to get old, still had the guts to step in the ring with Marvin Hagler. And the thing, to me, Sugar Ray Leonard is a greater technical boxer than Floyd Mayweather. But the thing that made Sugar Ray Leonard great in my eyes, which I never could stand him because he beat up all the guys I liked, but the thing that really stood out to me was the fact that his first fight with Roberto Duran, he went out to prove to everybody how good he was and how tough he was. But my problem with both of these guys is, I mean, especially when I first look at this, I blame Pac-Man because, you know, Mayweather is a counterpuncher. So if you're going to beat him, you got to take it to him. But the other thing is this. I think if you put an injured Pac-Man in front of a Sugar Ray Leonard or a Thomas Hearns, they would figure that out by the fifth or sixth round and just go obliterate him. I mean, my problem with Floyd Mayweather all along, and I don't think he's a top 10 welterweight, is that he does not take chances. And, I mean, to be great, you've got to be willing to take a chance. You know, Sugar Ray Robinson was the welterweight champion, greatest welterweight of all time, and I think that's unquestioned. If you question it, you're under the age of 15 and really have no clue what you're talking about. And Sugar Ray Robinson, he went and challenged middleweights. He challenged lightweights and light heavyweights. I mean,
that's right.
He went toe-to-toe with Joey Maxim and almost beat Joey Maxim, who was the light heavyweight champion in the world.
If it weren't 110 or so degrees that night, he may have won that fight.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not so much that he was even in the fight. It was the fact that he had the guts and the courage to actually take that fight. Do you think there's any way we could get Floyd Mayweather in a ring with Gennady Golovkin at middleweight? Or, I mean, even if they were to have a catchweight fight and Golovkin weighed 154, Mayweather's not going to fight him. And, I mean, to take it even farther, you got an Adonis Stevenson and you got Sergey Kovalev at light heavyweight, two huge punchers. There's no way Floyd Mayweather challenges them. And, I mean, it's not so much – I mean, he probably shouldn't because that's stupid. But the thing is this, when you're great, you have to test your greatness. I mean, Sugar Ray Robinson, I think his goal was to be the greatest fighter that ever lived. Sugar Ray Leonard's goal was to be the greatest fighter that ever lived. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard went up, he beat Marvin Hagler. I don't think he did, but it was a close fight. Moves up and fights for the super middleweight and light heavyweight championships against Donnie Lalonde, who, I mean, we've both done a lot of research because he was supposed to be on the show the last 2 weeks. Donnie Lalonde was a really good boxer, a really good fighter. I mean, he put Leonard down in the fourth round. He won the first four or five rounds, and Leonard came back and beat him. Same thing when Leonard fought Hearns. I mean, Leonard is losing to Hearns, And in the 13th and 14th round, which can't happen anymore because they shortened it, he came from behind and beat him. And I just don't see with Floyd Mayweather somebody that will really step up to a challenge or actually go seek out a challenge. What are your feelings?
Like you, I didn't like Sugar Ray Leonard either, but I have a ton of respect for him. He is maybe next to Muhammad Ali the best fighter of my lifetime. Great, great fighter.
You're pretty old, too, so that's a long time.
I know. I go back to, let's see, as far as knowing fights and 68, 69 watching fights. I remember the first fight I remember vividly was Joe Frazier beating Jimmy Ellis in Madison Square Garden for the title. I remember that vividly. I think that was 70. But, you know, you mention legacy. You mention Floyd Mayweather. It's a different time now, and I know a lot of people say, oh, we live in a different era. It is, and with fighters especially, and Floyd Mayweather in particular, if I'm not mistaken, he has made by far more money than any other fighter in the history of boxing. So what is so important about a legacy when you have more money than you'll ever know what to do with? There's no hunger there. There's no fighter standing in Mayweather's way for him to get a big purse. He already has all the money that he needs. He's just in, and he fights that way. He fights in survivor mode. I'm going to survive this. I'm going to fight in spurts, and I'm going to win a decision and make a ton of money and go home and stay undefeated. Today's fighters, with very few exceptions, are not concerned with legacy. The last fighter that I know that was really concerned with legacy was Evander Holyfield. But Evander was a throwback. Evander could have hung with the guys in the 70s, which was the pinnacle for heavyweights, just to give you an example.
Well, I disagree. And I know you don't watch a lot of new boxing, or current boxing. A lot of guys out there that actually do. I mean, the Gennady Golovkins, I think he will eventually move up and challenge people. I mean, but you are right at one thing. I think the two best fighters today are Mayweather, Andre Ward. Andre Ward, I think, has taken that challenge. He was in the Super Six, fought Carl Froch, fought everybody that was a ranked contender that was up there with him or was also a champion. He took those chances. He hadn't fought in a couple of years because of trouble with his management. But I don't think there's any doubt that when he's ready to go again, you'll see him fight Sergey Kovalev in a huge fight at light heavyweight. So I think that Floyd Mayweather in any generation is an anomaly. I mean, I just do. I mean, he doesn't take chances, which, I mean, is smart. I mean, nobody wants to get hit in the head. But if you want to go around and say that you're the greatest of all time and that you're better than Muhammad Ali and you're better than Sugar Ray Robinson, if you're going to say that, you need to back it up. And I don't think he has. And, I mean, there's a little bit of film at Sugar Ray Robinson at welterweight. There's a lot of it at middleweight. And when I watch Sugar Ray Robinson, I think he could cut one arm off, and I still think he could beat Floyd Mayweather. Because I think he just wanted to be great so bad that he would just keep coming until he got him. I mean, do you think Floyd Mayweather...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What was your question about Mayweather? I'm sorry.
No, because you're going to say something. Say it, Joe. Just say it.
I just think that, again, a different time. If this is not to take anything away from Sugar Ray Robinson, who I think not only is the greatest welter of all time, I think he's the greatest fighter of all time, pound for pound. But if Ray Robinson made a ton of money, he would not have had over 100 fights like he did. He wouldn't have. You know, he actually, if I remember correctly, I heard an interview with him. He actually did not enjoy fighting. He fought because he needed the money, for the most part. And he quit when he thought he had enough money. Then he lost the money and he had to come back. So
As a welterweight, he was 110-1.
Yeah.
You know, his only defeat, Jake LaMotta beat him. They go to middleweight, fight four or five more times, and he whips LaMotta every time. He beat multiple Hall of Famers. You know, I mean, he beat Sammy Angott, he beat Marty Servo, Fritzy Zivic, Jake LaMotta four times, Henry Armstrong, Tommy Bell, Kid Gavilan twice, who's very underrated. I just don't think that Mayweather's beating the kind of opponents he did. And, I mean, the big question to me is, do you think he is a top 10 welterweight of all time?
Well, his record alone, I think you have to put him there. I know you're not going to agree with me, and I'm not saying he's even a top five, but he has to be given serious consideration for a top 10 fighter. 48-0 is 48-0, and he has beaten some good fighters. Say what you will about Pacquiao, he beat him. He beat Cotto. He beat some good fighters. He beat was the guy who knocked out Pacquiao.
Oh, Juan Manuel Marquez, but that doesn't count.
Marquez handled him
in his first fight coming up from 135 pounds. Big difference between 135 and 147. He didn't give him a chance to get used to the weight. I still think he'd have beat Marquez either way. But my biggest problem with him is this. Outside of his fight, his defense, I think he's a top 10 lightweight of all time. I don't think he's a top 10 welterweight. I think his best fights were at lightweight. I mean, the exhibition he put on against Diego Corrales was one of the most perfect fights I've ever seen anybody fight. But my problem with him is he fought Ricky Hatton at welterweight. My problem with that is Ricky Hatton, for a couple years, he dominated Costa Zoo. He was the best junior welterweight in the world. Mayweather was a lightweight champion at the time. Mayweather did not fight him at the time, even though he was offered a ton of money to go to Wembley Stadium and fight him. Instead of fighting him, he jumped over junior welterweight, went to welterweight, won that title, and made Hatton move up to him. I mean, a great fighter would just have went to junior welterweight, fought him in Wembley. I mean, you don't have to fight every fight in Las Vegas if you're a great fighter. I mean, the thing that made Muhammad Ali great is he would go anywhere and win.
I agree, but that little move right there tells me that there's a little bit of Sugar Ray Leonard in him. As you know, Leonard was a master at fighting people where he thought he had the advantage, or maybe they were past their prime, or they weren't at their ideal weight. You know, Leonard was a master at that, and that's just a page out of Leonard's book.
I don't think Leonard did that when he was in his prime. I mean, in his prime, he fought Roberto Duran when he didn't have to. Duran, I don't even think, was ranked number one at the time. I think he was ranked number two. But, you know, he fought Duran. He turns around, fights a rematch with Duran, which that was something that he took advantage of, but that only happened because Duran let him take advantage of it. And then he goes and he beats Thomas Hearns, Thomas Hearns is probably a top 10. I mean, right there he beat two guys that are legends. Now, I think when you get towards the end of his career, the only fight I think he really cherry-picked on was Marvin Hagler by waiting a few years. I mean, and I don't think one instance you can sit there and say, well, this guy cherry-picked it. I mean, with Donnie Lalonde, he made him fight at a catch weight, I think of 168 or 170, which, I mean, once again, that's up to Lalonde to do. But still, he didn't really cherry-pick it. He took on a big, young, strong, light heavyweight champion who just knocked out Eddie Davis in two rounds. Eddie Davis was a really good fighter that almost beat Michael Spinks. So, I mean, really, outside of the Hagler fight, where do you think he cherry-picked somebody?
I think he cherry-picked Tommy Hearns by making him wait 8 years to give him a rematch.
Yeah, but if you got to also remember this. Tommy Hearns moved up in weight almost immediately. So in 1981, Tommy Hearns' last fight at welterweight is when he lost to Sugar Ray Leonard. His next fight was at super middleweight against Ernie Singletary. I remember because it was on Drama in the Bahamas, the Ali Burbick undercard. He fought on there, and then he fought, I think it was the next year, he fought in November of 81. I think it was November or December, he beat Wilfred Benitez for the super middleweight title. So, Leonard moved up, fought Kalule for the super middleweight title, I believe, also. But after that, Leonard retired.
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Ayub Kalule was a good fighter, and he gave Leonard trouble. I believe he was a southpaw also. And, I mean, that fight was stopped a little bit prematurely. Because also I remember, I think, on the same I think that was actually – was that before or after the Hearns fight? Because I know Hearns, I think, defended his title against Pablo Baez on that undercard also. But I can't remember if that was before or after. But my main point being this. I don't think that Leonard, at that young of age, could have really carried his weight to super middleweight or middleweight that soon. And also, if you remember, I mean, he retired in, what, 82? And he had the one fight against Kevin Howard, which was at welterweight
right.
in 84. And then he didn't fight again, D'Elia. So, I mean, I don't think that he was setting Tommy Hearns up. I think that whole thing was about setting Marvin Hagler up. He'd already beaten Tommy Hearns. So, to me, he had beaten Hearns when they were both in their prime. You know, Hearns shouldn't have ran out of gas. You know, then maybe Hearns could have dictated terms. But I think the whole thing was a setup to get Marvin Hagler at the right time. And, you know, he still fought Hearns at a higher weight than what he had to. Because I think they fought the super middleweight. What'd you say?
I think so. What do you think is next for Pacquiao?
For Pacquiao? Well, I mean, if he's got a torn rotator cuff, you're looking at a year before he can fight again, probably.
Even if he wants to.
Well, I mean, who wants to go out like that? But then again, he gets $120 million. He got $100 from me.
Me too.
You got $100 from me, $100 from you. We got people listening in, I see. You got $100 from most of them, too, also. So, I mean, I'll tell you, Joe, you give me $1 million to do something, I'll probably just move somewhere and never do anything again and live off the interest, especially when it comes to getting smacked in the head. But
my gut feeling is that Manny will fight at least one more time, even if he fights a tomato can to knock him out so he can feel good about the end of his career. The guy's been a tremendous fighter. He's had a lot of big-time victories. It's too bad he laid an egg against Mayweather. The injury probably played a factor. Mayweather's a heck of a fighter. I still think, though, I really believe that Pacquiao can really take it to Mayweather. A healthy Pacquiao can take it to him. I really believe that.
I don't know, because to me, I mean, he didn't. He had the chance. I don't care what the reason was. What my dad used to tell me was this. If you show up to play in a game and you're hurt and you play in the game anyways, I don't want to hear you bitch and whine about it afterwards. You know, because when you get in there, that tells me you think you can win. And if you don't think you can win, your ass doesn't belong in there. So, I mean,
that's
it tells me that he still thought he had enough to win. He got in there. He got his ass whipped. And then he wanted to cry wolf after and say he was hurt. I'm sorry. You got your ass whipped. That's just the way it is.
I don't think he got his ass whipped. I mean, he lost, but...
Well, you know what? He chased around and landed maybe, what, 50 or 60 punches? I mean, he got controlled.
Okay, that's
better. I mean, Floyd Mayweather didn't have to do anything above average of what he does to win that fight rather easy.
So what's next for Floyd? Floyd says he only wants to fight one more fight. I have a hard time believing that. He'll just tie Marciano. If he fights two, he'll be all alone 50-0.
Yeah, and I mean, really? I mean, I know you are my hype man, so if you can get me a fight with him, I'm ready to go. I mean, we're going to have a catch weight, because I haven't weighed 147 pounds since I was like six. But
since you were at birth.
I think this. I think the one thing that's possible is Canelo Alvarez. He fights James Kirkland this weekend. If he was to just totally destroy James Kirkland, I think that could be the way they go, just because that's going to sell a ton of pay-per-views. And their fight they had before, similar to the Pacquiao, Canelo, about the sixth or seventh round, just said to hell with it, went the distance. But Canelo was also like 21 years old. Canelo's a young fighter. So you give him a couple more years of experience, Mayweather gets a little bit older, you can sell that to people, and you know there's plenty of people that'll buy that. Canelo has a huge following, you know, with the Mexican people. Floyd Mayweather has a huge following by inmates in jails. And, I mean, I think that, you know, I think that would still sell. I think what he's going to do is he's probably going to do Amir Khan, which...
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, and Amir Khan's a big physical athletic kid. And the thing is this, Mayweather's a little bit old. The only chance you got there for Mayweather to lose is if Mayweather shows up the night of the fight and all of a sudden is old. And that does happen.
Yes.
But I wouldn't hold my breath. And I don't think he's just going to fight one more time either. I mean, Floyd Mayweather's not in it just for the money. He likes the fame, too. He likes people looking at him. Plus, he just got sued for $20 million by one of his ex-wives, so they'll probably all jump on that train, or ex-girlfriend, so he'll still be broke 2 or 3 years after he's done anyways. He'll make an ill-fated comeback attempt, and somebody will knock him out, and there goes his zero. Which is the thing that was impressive about Rocky Marciano. No matter what he was offered after he retired, he stayed retired.
He did seriously contemplate coming back once. He did go away and go to the gym, and he just was not feeling it, so he just gave it up. He went alone, and he did seriously contemplate it. I think at the time he was thinking of challenging Floyd Patterson.
Well, and that probably would have been a good choice. Floyd didn't like guys that hit real hard. But
no.
I mean, when you look at it, Marciano didn't have a lot of competition in the heavyweight division. I mean, except for Ezra Charles, Jersey Joe Walcott. Rolon Lastarz, I think, was a really good fighter. But other than that, there was nobody else left for him to fight. I mean, heck, his last title defense, I think, was against Archie Moore, who was like 73 and the light heavyweight champion of the world. The number one contender was Nino Val. Huh?
I think you're exaggerating. I think Archie Moore is like 62.
Okay. Well, whatever. You know what I mean. So
I know. I'm just joking.
I mean, my thing with Marciano is the only thing he had left. His number one contender, I think, when he retired was Nino Valdez. And I think that Nino Valdez ended up famous for, like, grapes and making wine, but I'm not sure. It was on a commercial once in the 70s I saw. But you've got absolutely
nothing to say.
Marciano
retired at just the right time. Had he stuck around a little longer and for Liston, I think Liston would have handled him. Liston was just too big and strong.
Well, for Liston to fight him, I mean, Liston won the champion, though, about 4 or 5 years after Marciano, was he?
Yeah, but wasn't Liston up there in 58? When did Marciano retire, 56?
Marciano retired, I believe, in 53 or 54. No, 54. 54, 55,
54.
Right around there.
All right, so he would have missed Liston.
Yeah, he'd had to wait 4 years. I think Liston was still in jail then.
Yeah.
Well, he was. It's not a joke. I broke legs for the mafia. But, we got 2 minutes and 53 seconds left. I mean,
I'm thinking if he takes Amir Khan next, I mean, whoever he fights next, if he fights anyone who has any semblance of aggression, hopefully they learn a lesson from this fight, and they just take it to him. Take it to him. I mean, I was screaming at the set. My family was telling me to shut up. That I was screaming at imploring Pacquiao like an idiot, like he could hear me, to take it to him, and he just never did.
You were screaming at the TV? I gave up like 30 seconds into the first round because I really expected Mayweather to – I expected Pacquiao to just charge out and throw punches, and it never happened.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating. And the thing that was really frustrating to me is my son comes home, and his friends had a baseball game that night. Our next-door neighbor had a friend over, and all three of them boys come in and sit on the couch. And, you know, two of them, my son's friends, had never even watched a boxing match. And that's what they got to see. And that's the bad thing about it, because people say boxing's dead, but if you look at the ratings of the premium buyer, what is that called? The premier boxing champions on, you know, pretty much every channel there is now, they get really good ratings. But
yes.
I don't think that is, you know, any indication that boxing's dead. Just like it's no indication when Denver gets beat, you know, what was it, 48-9 in the Super, 49-8 or whatever it was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Nobody said football was dead. So I don't really see what the difference is. Sometimes you get dud Super Bowls. Sometimes you get dud boxing matches. But we got about a minute left. Now, next week we're supposed to have Carlos Palomino on Tuesday night. Great fighter, one of my favorites when I was younger. I know Joe was a fan of him. Had a great fight with Roberto Duran. I mean, you got any final words? We got about 52 seconds left.
Hopefully we'll get Donnie Lalonde in the coming weeks. I'm sure he had a busy schedule. Really looking forward to talking to him. And hopefully we do have some good fights coming up. Looking forward to that as well.
All right. Well, I guess you're done talking then, right? Do you like your Giants draft?
I did. The fifth rounder was a little perplexing, but they do the scouting. I don't. So I did like the first three picks, though, a lot. How about your Bengals?
It's the Bengals. So We're not even going to discuss that. That's for a football show. But we will see you next weekend or next Tuesday night on The Grueling Truth. Thanks for listening in.